Welcome back to Administrative Static. This is John Vecchione, and I'm rejoined by Russ Ryan to discuss another matter that's quite interesting. We don't do too many mandamus actions. So, Russ, what is this? And we're gone to the Sixth Circuit on FINRA, right?
FINRA was the original culprit here.
Yeah. And they went to the SEC.
But the case is, yeah, essentially against the SEC. And we were just talking about the PCAOB.
Yes.
So similarly, FINRA is a private corporation that does things very similar to the PCAOB, but their remit is over the brokerage industry, security brokerage industry. But it's got a lot of the same issues and problems. But this case that we have right now is, and it's similar in that if you don't like what FINRA does to you, your first appeal is to the SEC, and then if you don't like that, you can go to your local circuit court. So in this case, our client is not anonymous. He's his name is Eric Smith. He was disciplined by FINRA, even though he's never been an officer, director, or employee of any FINRA-registered firm.
Is Sarbanes-Oxley again?
No, this isn't. This goes back to the Maloney Act.
And got it.
But his one of his primary claims before FINRA was, you have no jurisdiction over me. I don't work for a broker-dealer firm. FINRA said it had jurisdiction over him because he is the president of a privately held corporation that does own a broker dealer.
Okay.
So, but we don't, the case really isn't about the underlying merits or the conduct involved. But he was investigated by FINRA starting, I think, around 2015 or so. FINRA disciplined him in 2019. He appealed to the, it was appealed internally at FINRA in 2020. He didn't like the results, so he appealed it to the SEC in late 2020. The case has still not been decided.
And the SEC has granted itself 9 consecutive 90-day extensions?
Yeah, it's just absurd. And this is not uncommon at the SEC. You file your appeal. The briefing is done several months later. In this case, all the briefs were in by March 2020, so pretty much exactly 3 years ago. But it's just crickets.
Does interest run on the fine?
That's a good question. I don't know. I think the fine has stayed, now that I think about it, while you appeal to the SEC, not the bar or the suspension that they imposed. But you know, the case has just been sitting around. It's crickets chirping, and the SEC just continuously gives itself 90 more days to decide the case. The SEC's own rules say, in ordinary appeals, we should be able to get a decision out within no more than 10 months after the close of briefing, which is probably comparable, if not even more generous in time, than a typical U.S. Court of Appeals.
Yeah.
Most courts of appeals get their decision out within a year of docketing and within a few months of the oral argument. There's been no oral argument scheduled yet in our client's appeal, and you know, 3 years have passed by now since the close of briefing, and there's no indication that the court intends to decide this appeal anytime
soon. Well, could they say that it's because there's constitutional issues and takes, like, are they going to say this isn't an ordinary case?
I don't think that's the thinking, because they are dribbling out some appellate decisions cases like this. They usually come out a few years after the case was briefed. And, but what we're arguing is the SEC's refusal to act on an appeal that's pending before it is both a deprivation of due process of law. Basically, justice delayed is justice denied. And it's also a violation of the APA, which has a requirement that agencies must decide matters that are properly before them. But, you know, we call it the SEC's version of the Hotel California because you can get in, but you never get out.
Oh, so. Well, I just, you know, you bring that up and I'll just tell this because our listeners might want to go see this. I just saw yesterday that Don Henley, they just yes. dismissed a case in the Hotel California. His notes or his liner notes, something he wrote.
The lyrics.
Yes, yeah. Or at least with his markings on. I don't know, maybe the lyrics. But he told the New York prosecutor, what's his name, the guy who's Alvin Bragg, that his notes had been stolen and sold for auction. And they just found all this. They just turned over all this discovery that that hadn't happened they'd already prosecuted. Anyway, as soon as you did it, I was like, Don Henley's lying about who stole his notes. I didn't see that coming. But back to this case, it is the Hotel California because you can't get out. And what do we always say? We say the process is the punishment.
Yes.
So. And 3 years is a long time. And this happened to Ray Lucia, you know, say 7 or 8 years. I mean, these are whole years of time when you're not in basically your job.
Right. And this is in at least one respect, this is worse than, you know, an appeal from a PCAOB case, because with FINRA, the fact that they've charged you becomes public even at the FINRA level.
Right. And then you're done.
Effectively, you're unemployable. And because of, you know, no one wants to go near this guy.
No.
And he's statutorily prohibited while from raising capital through certain exemptions from SEC registration requirements. So like private placements,
right.
Nobody's going to allow him to be part of a private placement. So, and it's the reputational damage. It's just a reputational overhang. While anybody who Googles our client, the first thing that's going to pop up is that FINRA whacked him for, you know, misconduct. And he has a right to have his appeal decided within a reasonable amount of time. So we're asking the court first to actually order the SEC, issue a writ of mandamus, directing the SEC to dismiss, to overturn FINRA's sanction. And the reason for that is the SEC just hasn't complied with the statutes that say you need to make, if you're going to uphold a sanction, you need to make a finding that it was proper. And if you do not make that finding, you shall set aside the FINRA sanction. And our argument is they've had 3 years or more.
They didn't do it.
To make those findings, they haven't. It's time to dismiss it. And in the alternative, we say, well, at a minimum, you've got to direct the SEC to decide this case within a reasonable time. And we suggest 30 days.
Yeah, and not only is there no reason, and now it's going to be filed. They know that they could. I'm sure they'll issue an opinion and then say it's moot, right?
Maybe. Well, we did a similar one last year. I don't know if you remember. Our client was Marilyn Young, Marion Young. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Shortly after we filed the petition, we did the briefing, and then the SEC issued this omnibus order where it dismissed something like 42 pending appeals, and our clients was one of them. So the case effectively became moot. And so I have little doubt that they're going to come up with some way, some procedural gimmick to get rid of this one too, because they do not want judicial scrutiny of their lassitude in deciding appeals. So, you know, that's maybe a partial victory, but
yeah,
you
know, we'd like a ruling. And one of the things that strikes me about all this, and I think we had a press release, and I think you put in your quote, you know, one of the reasons we have these administrative adjudications is that they say it's more efficient and they have expertise and it'll get done faster than if they go into the courts. And these constant delays, I mean, if you issue yourself one 90-day delay, I don't think anyone would – that's kind of okay. That happens. but nine of them, you know, and with no end in sight. Then I'm sure they go before Congress and the SEC says, oh, well, we have all these advantages, right? It doesn't take so long. Well,
it's a crock. It's a total crock. This case involves conduct that goes back to, I think, 2010. So he's been, I think the investigation probably started years after that, but he's been dealing with FINRA and the SEC now for well over 5 years, no end in sight. And it's, you know, we want the courts to basically tell the SEC, you got to start doing your job.
So it's been a long time since I've done a mandamus. How long do they have to respond?
They actually don't have to respond unless and until the court orders
says something,
them to.
Right?
But the last time we did it, that order came within a week or two. So.
Oh, wow. Well, I do hope that maybe we'll get some finality this time. And it's in the Sixth Circuit?
Yes.
All right. And it's In Re Eric S. Smith. So that's how – there's no verses.
No, that's the way you're supposed to caption a mandamus. I think it's odd because it's obvious that the respondent is the SEC. And the court realizes that too. But for whatever reason, the federal rules say it's In Re the petitioner.
Well, in any event, this is – a three-year delay is quite a long time. So any final thoughts?
No, it's just been a busy week.
And yeah, exactly.
It's fun to file cases.
Right. Well, thanks for being with us, Russ.
Okay, thanks, John.